Morning, everybody. I'm going to start off with a little bit of a somber note. I'd like to dedicate this talk and the work that I do to my husband's friend and coworker, who was killed about a month ago in an ATV rollover incident at work. It hits really close to home. Faulkner will now forever serve for me as a reminder that the numbers we all talk about are real people. He's missed. I didn't personally know him very well, but I had met him. I think that he would want us all to be successful in our jobs. He didn't want to die that day. And I think he'd want us also to enjoy the work that we do and have fun. So I am going to change the tone after just remembering him for this brief minute. I'll change the tone and make it a little more fun. This is me holding a spreadsheet that has been taped together. This is one of the tools that I inherited when I started my job to track work-related fatalities in Wyoming. And I think we've probably all been there at some point in our careers where we've taped together Excel printouts to try to figure something out. But when I received this, I thought, I don't think that I can carry on this way and something needs to change. I think we're all very familiar with the fact that there is a federal system called the Census of Fatal Occupational Injuries that tracks worker fatalities across the country. And it's really fantastic for certain things. It does a great job of enumerating and classifying and coding all of these events in a consistent, systematic way so we can compare across states, you know, track for the nation, all those great things. But it's got some problems in terms of data suppression, really the level of detail that's not available to people like us that are trying to figure out what's actually happening in our state. So I've been in Wyoming for 2.5 years now. I think I started at the end of 2014. And my predecessor had launched this fatality surveillance tracking system since 2012. You know, he began by really classifying things as close to CFOI as he could get and trying to get the data out a little bit sooner, not really suppressing anything. I mean, we report down to 0 and 1. And also providing brief case narratives so we can, you know, try to get these stories out there into the communities. So what we know in Wyoming from CFOI is that we have the first or sometimes the second highest occupational fatality rate in the country. It's 3 times greater than the national average. It's about 30 deaths per year, give or take. The rate has not sustained any change in a decade. We know that half are due to their classification of transportation incidents, and ag, mining, transportation, and construction are the culprits. No surprise there. There's really nothing remarkable in the public source data about distribution by age or other demographics, and that's when you're looking at all industries combined. Because what we don't know is a lot of the detail. You know, we have a numerator problem in Wyoming. There's only 500,000 people in total, about 250,000 workers. So a small numerator means a big data suppression in the CFOI data. This tagline they like to use, that a blank indicates no data reported or data that do not meet publication criteria, not necessarily zero. I'm always wondering, does blank equal zero or does it equal 1 or 2? So gaps in counts by industry, you know, when we combine everything, up to 35% are either just an other industry group or are suppressed. So rates by industry are like non-existent. Counts by cause are up to 13% just suppressed in the public data. So cause by industry, you're never going to figure it out, the full picture. And then, of course, demographics by industry are just not there. So some of you may be thinking, well, have you thought about the CFOI research file? I did think about going to that. You know, this is from their website. They quote over 30 data elements that are collected, coded, and tabulated. And, you know, they talk about how great it is and all the many, many uses. And these are some of the things that they say you can get at. But a lot of these things are great, but they're still really not what some of the things that me and my stakeholders in the state are looking for. So, you know, we want to know county of death. We want to know state of residence. There's a lot of talk in Wyoming that people just come to work in Wyoming and then they die here. So there's this, it's like the state borders, anybody outside, it doesn't really matter. That kind of mentality does exist. So we wanted to look at that. And then just things about the circumstance, like seatbelt use, were drugs and alcohol involved, contractor status, who was the lead investigating agency, and was there an investigation actually completed? And then illness deaths, of course, is another question. Not to mention, real-time, point-in-time comparisons. Even when you have very small numbers, the media and your stakeholders want to know how many people have died up to this date this year, and how many people died up to this date last year, and how do they compare? And then, of course, if you're in a formal agreement with the Bureau of Labor Statistics, you have to succumb to their clearance requirements, which can sometimes just, slow things down a little bit. So the star for me in this experience was EpiInfo. I know we sort of talked about it in our group before, and some of you may have used it for different things. If you are not familiar with it, I'll just tell you it's a free downloadable data tool. It runs Microsoft Access in the background, so you do need to have access on your system. It basically allows you to construct a data entry form and a database like in a matter of minutes, literally. There's like drag and drop. You drag and drop, and you can create all of your data entry tools, and it's really fantastic. With the ability to extract your data into other programs when you're ready for analysis. I want to give honorable mention to the NIOSH field office in Alaska. They have constructed and presented to this group before about their AWIS data system, which tracks worker fatality and traumatic injury. And they were really great. It's an access system. They offered to share it with me. They actually did send me the shell of the database, but I've used Access, I'm not an Access programmer, and I needed to get that spreadsheet into an electronic format like ASAP, so I went with EpiInfo instead. A lot of you probably are really familiar with the challenges in fatality tracking. You get the data at various time points. It's really mixed media where the information comes from. Some things you can set up automatically to just feed into your inbox or your system. Some things you have to go out into the World Wide Web and find. Sometimes you get narrative data. Sometimes it's coded. Sometimes you get these reports that have multiple fatalities listed, and you have to piece the information out. Some of it's public, and some of it is confidential. So literally, in like a day, I was able to create this really nice-looking two-page data entry form. It has a lot of the typical surveillance fields, but it also has a lot of tailored variables that we were looking for. You can input narrative data, and I have yet to run into a limit problem with how many characters you can put into these narrative data boxes, so it's really great. You can create drop-down fields, multiple choice fields, one or many, and I was able to sit at my computer and do this in a day, so it's really been fantastic for that. So once I had it drafted, I went through this process of really reviewing and doing data entry for the 2 years of data that I inherited on that spreadsheet. It was about 86 cases, but it was a necessary process. I do think there's a way I could have just downloaded all of that into EpiInfo, but it was a necessary process for me to really understand how my predecessor had interpreted these cases, potentially recode and classify, and then also build that electronic resource of these cases so that I could really understand what my perspective had been when I was reviewing the file. And then doing ongoing data entry for 2015 forward. And then sort of getting everything into an electronic format. So the results for me are better external data. Last year I was able to publish the first external data report on worker fatalities that included multiple years of information, and I'll show you what some of that information looks like, but also better internal data. We did end up, you know, sort of building this relationship with our Wyoming CFOI, where they will send us, they will share with us their cases, the information they've obtained from the public domain about their cases. They won't tell us if they're counting those cases, which is why shared is in quotes. But I'm able to track, like, was this a case that CFOI sent me first or subsequently? Tracking whether OSHA had jurisdiction to investigate and if they did investigate, which they always do if they have jurisdiction, but I'm understanding that sometimes there's a question of whether they have jurisdiction. Tracking if there are multiple fatalities and how they're linked. Beginning to track catastrophic injury events, which is really helpful because I can, you know, track those and then go back and see if the worker subsequently passed away, or really even just to have a repository for that information. We also pay for a news clipping service, so just administratively, I'd like to know if, you know, my return on investment. Are they sending me anything new, or are they just sending me what I've already gotten from other sources? And just tracking the case status, like, is this sort of a preliminary case that I'm looking into, or have I really finalized this and it's something I'm confident talking about and sharing with people? So looking more into the data by event or exposure, so as I said, we found out, well, we knew that transportation events were the leading causes. They are in most states and across the country. But what we were able to highlight is that it's really split by motor vehicle over-the-road crashes and also motor vehicle incidents where a pedestrian was hit on a work site or it was a work site vehicle like an ATV rollover. And I think this this information has really gotten us really far in talking about the transportation issue in Wyoming. Looking at over-the-road motor vehicle crashes, seatbelt use is also another huge issue that a lot of stakeholders are talking about in our state. So we are able to enumerate that over 30% of worker fatalities over the road, the worker was not wearing their seatbelt. So that and there was 13% that are unknown in this sample, which, you know, often I think you can sort of interpret that it's most likely that they were not wearing it if they weren't able to classify that it was on. But this is important both for statewide seatbelt use policy and then also talking to employers about what their driving safety policies are. By event or exposure, so these are the same general event or exposure categories that CFOI uses. And I think, you know, again, it's small numbers, so we sort of jump up and down. But what this is able to tell us, we did have a decrease in fatalities between 2014 and 2015. But this shows stability in the causes behind those fatalities. You know, so that's a way to support the suggestion that when there's a decrease in certain industries like oil and gas extraction, in my example, in my state, that's sometimes what's driving your decrease in fatalities. It's not that you've made progress in any one particular cause or event. By county, which people love to see, people love maps. So I think what's important about this is that it shows that the distribution of fatalities during this time period does follow our population centers and where the workforce is, with the exception of Carbon County there on the bottom where there were 10 fatalities. This is a really, really rural area. There's like no population center or people living there, but it does have a stretch of Interstate 80 that goes over a mountain pass. And half of these fatalities were motor vehicle crashes on Interstate 80. So then we can also look by industry, and you know, there's a lot of data on this slide, but I'm going to go through a couple different industries and just show you that these things do look different when you look at it by industry. So for agriculture, we'll start with causes. The leading causes are contact with object or equipment, a motor vehicle incident that involves a pedestrian or a work site, which is really ATV rollovers. I think all of those are ATV rollovers, or injury by an animal, and all of those are cattle ranchers. And this is the one industry that shows some really remarkable things about age. It's the only industry in this time period where we had somebody younger than 16 who was killed on the job. And I think it's the only one where we have people that are over age 65 that are killed on the job. And they were by far the largest proportion of workers in this group. And most of them are Wyoming residents at the bottom. And then this is just an example of the brief narratives that we're able to put together for each of these cases. Oil and gas industry, leading cause, motor vehicle over the road crashes, but also contact with object and equipment, as you would anticipate. The age group is, the working age group, and here less of them are Wyoming residents. 60% were Wyoming residents. For the construction industry, we saw that falls from height are the leading cause, which is no surprise, but motor vehicle incidents on the work site were another leading factor, and these are people that are usually backed over by some piece of equipment that doesn't have a rear view camera, or there was no good communication. Working age groups, and almost, all Wyoming residents. The transportation industry, motor vehicle over the road as a leading cause, no surprise, but I was surprised to see we have a handful of people that fall from height, and that happens when they're securing their cargo, and are not really, prepared for that environment. Working age, only 30% Wyoming residents, and this was the one category where we saw a particular outside state was feeding in workers that ended up having a fatality on our roads. And 7 of 8 of the of all Texas residents' deaths that we saw in this time period were in the transportation industry. So lessons learned in my process here is I've learned to sort of embrace flexible case definitions. It does sort of change as I've been going along, but I'm always, pretty clear. One thing is the industry of employer versus the industry of activity. We have a lot of people with multiple jobs, and sort of sorting through how I should classify these folks was a little bit of a process. But also to know when to stop fiddling with it and document why you made your choice, because inevitably, people will ask you the same question over and over and over again, or ask you the question you didn't think you would get. It's really hard not to make stuff up. I mean, you get really limited information about worker fatalities, and you piece together this story, and you're like, he wasn't wearing fall protection, but it's like, I don't really know that for sure. So it's hard not to make up the story yourself. There are a lot of mapping and graphing tools in EpiInfo that I'd like to get more familiar with now that we have more data in the system. I really wonder if the narrative that I put in there is going to explode the database. I mean, there is just so much open text narrative, but I can just open up my pages for any one case and look to see what OSHA said, look to see what the workers' comp claim said, and make a determination. And I might still fiddle with some of my case classifications. Thank you very much. In the back, Laurel. Everything I get is identified. So I get identified records from the death certificate. So I'm really creating an electronic case file for every incident.
So you're manually entering?
Yes, manually entering. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Tish. You said that you're tracking like catastrophic, multi injury events. It was really interesting. I heard a talk from New York, and they're counting not only the work related deaths,
Yeah, that is an interesting idea. I have gotten that question from our health department. I haven't really focused in that direction yet, but that's a question that comes up a lot. We actually have a lot of your example of truck driver incidents where a semi truck hit a worker on the side of the road or a vehicle that was pulled over. and that person was killed and the trucker was uninjured. So really we're talking about motor vehicle crashes that involve a commercial motor vehicle. And we haven't quite gotten there yet, but it's
more work because